Well, good morning, everybody. I'm not trying to cut fellowship short by any means, so y'all just keep on if you need to, okay? I can get loud enough if we have to, amen? Well, I've already run two rows off already. We ain't even got started good yet, amen? Now, they actually just moved upstairs, so... Man, it's good to be in God's house today, amen?
Amen.
I want to just kind of fill you in a little bit. Some of you may have missed one or so of the services in the past 3 weeks. I've been embarking on a series about lukewarmness, and I just feel like God's laid it on my heart to preach these sermons because I believe as the spiritual leader of this church, it's my responsibility to make sure the flock understands what it means to be lukewarm versus what it means to be born again. And there's absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, it's a great thing if you realize at some point in time in your life that, you know what, I really was lukewarm. But you know what? So many people in so many churches every Sunday, week after week after week, they come to church together, they grow up together through the church. But as Jesus spoke about, and I preached about last Sunday, I talked about the wheat and the tares, how they all come in there together and they all move up together. They look very similar to each other. Some even act the same way that each other does. But in the end, Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the tares, and he's going to bind up the tares and cast them into the fire. You may say, well, preacher, how could a loving God allow all these people to come up together in the church together and then in the end separate some of them out and throw them in fire and throw them in hell? It's because we serve a long-suffering God and a loving God, but we also serve a God of judgment. Amen. God is going to judge, and you got to understand, guys, this is a choice. Don't say, God, why did you do that in the end? There's not going to be room for that because you have an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior at any given time, at any given moment. What we're going to focus on today is, we talked about the church at Laodicea 2 weeks ago about their lukewarmness and how Jesus wanted to what? Vomit. Throw up. He went there. There you go. The youth don't have a problem saying that word. Some of y'all are like, vomit. Oh, that's disgusting. They're like, barf, throw up, puke, you know. But Jesus said, this church makes me sick. It makes me sick because of their lukewarmness. He could not find one positive thing to say about this church. He wrote all these letters to the other churches. He found good things to say about them, but he could not find anything good to say about this church. You know why? Because they were lukewarm. He said, I would rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you forth or I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And what he meant by that was, okay, come judgment day, if you're still this way, you will be the tares that will be separated away. And it sounded almost like this church was nothing but tares. Really and truly, if Jesus could not find one good thing to say about them, then they pretty much were all lost and headed in the wrong direction. Amen. But what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about how do I know? Because I know some of you have left here the last two Sundays going, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? Am I not saved? You're juggling this inside you right now. Well, I want to make it clear to you today. I already inserted in your bulletin a little checklist, and I appreciate Wheezy. I had to make her work overtime today, so we'll give her a pay raise next week, which unfortunately she doesn't make anything yet. So we'll have to put that off to the future, but I appreciate her doing that today. I want you to look over this list. I want you to really ask yourself those questions because I believe in my heart, and I kind of got this from another book that I have. It was actually... written by Alex Kendrick, and he gave me the ideas for these questions here out of that book. But I want you to think about that. We're going to talk today about how do I know I'm saved. We're going to go into the book of Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Amen. We're going to begin with verse 16. I'm going to read a few verses to you. And I promise you, I'm going to be as brief as I can, but somebody's salvation may hinge on this sermon today. So if we go a few minutes over, bear with me, because I want to make sure everybody understands, because God's going to lead me down another path next week. I've been on this one for about 3 weeks, but wherever God leads me, that's where I'm going with the sermon next week. But I don't want to ever forget about this. I don't want to ever leave this completely. I want to make sure you understand that, hey, this is for real. This is for real. And it's okay to one day realize, you know what? I did come down this aisle because my parents were pressuring me into getting saved. They kept asking me, hey, when you going to walk down the aisle? Hey, when you going to shake the preacher's hand? So I just came on down there and did it, but I didn't really mean it. I didn't really have Jesus in my heart at that time. Some of you may be saying right now, you know what? I just followed my friends because I didn't want to be the last one on the row at a revival. So I just got out and went down there with them. Guys, that's what I'm talking about. It's okay to come to the realization that, you know what? I really don't believe I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. You're going to know if you're saved. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is going to live inside your heart and He's going to let you know. But there's certain things that you should be showing and you should be doing. Now, there's two different types of people when it comes to salvation. There are the saved and those that have gotten off the path versus the saved and those who are on fire for the Lord. Trust me, I know what it means to backslide and get off the narrow path. I grieve the Holy Spirit, but I know I was saved at a point in time in my life. So I want you to understand, there could be a lot of you in here today who need to come and rededicate your life and service to Jesus Christ. You know you were saved. You know the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. You know you come under conviction when you do things that are wrong. But for some reason, you have grieved the Holy Spirit to the point where you have kind of isolated yourself away from Him. And that's okay. Because if you come to the realization of that and you come and get things straightened out, then God's going to restore you back into a right relationship with Him. So I want you to understand that. If you have your Bibles, if you will, those of you that can, stand to your feet as we read God's Word. In honor of God's Word, we're going to read a few verses beginning with Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Father God, I want to ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds the next few minutes, God, to the message that you are here to bring today. Lord, someone's salvation could hinge on what they hear today, God. And I just pray you're already preparing hearts and minds. And God, we're going to give you the praise and glory ahead of time, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, I want to reemphasize that last line or two there. You see, here's the thing. Paul had already talked to these people about this. You know how we know that? Because he said here, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. In other words, he's coming back around and he's saying, guys, we've already went over this. We've already went over this. If you are doing this, 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 and this, and you have no place for God in your life, what does it say? It says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What does shall not mean when it's spoken in God's word? Anybody? It means it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. God didn't breathe these words into this book here for people to look at it and say, well, I don't think God really meant that. I am tired of people trying to say what God thought. Amen? God knows what He thought. God knows what He meant. And that's why He put it in His word, because He meant it. Let's look at this list for just a minute. Adultery and fornication were two of the first things that were in this list here. Guys, these are two of the biggest sins that are destroying people's lives in America today. Adultery, of course, is having a relationship with someone outside of marriage. You're married. You're having an affair, so to speak, outside of marriage. That is what this is. This is one of the biggest problem sins in the life of the church and in the life of America as a whole. Guys, God gave us the sanctity of marriage And he meant for us to keep those vows and hold on to those vows. Now, I understand there are certain circumstances where divorce happens and you finally find the right person God has for you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person who is married, who continues to want to play the field, so to speak, and still think that their wife or husband, their spouse, whomever the case may be, is going to just ignore that. But you see, that's not what God says. He says that people who do this are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Fornication, running rampant in America today. What is fornication? Simply put, it is having sex outside of marriage. It is a sin in God's eyes. It always has been and it always will be. Guys, let me tell you something. It's not just the young people that are faced with this temptation and with this sin. There are plenty of adults who are committing fornication. And a lot of them are sitting in churches today listening to the word that's being spoken and are not under any conviction about what they're doing. Guys, those are lukewarm people. If you can continue to do these things and not feel guilty of them and not feel compelled to get on your knees and confess this before God and repent of this, then I would have to say, you're in that lukewarm category. The next one is lasciviousness that I want to mention to you today. Now understand, we're talking about the works of the flesh right now. We're talking about the things that if you're doing these things, then you're probably a lukewarm person. And guys, I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to shoot straight from the hip. I'm not going to give you one of these feel-good sermons that when you leave from here, you think we serve a God that's a loving God, that everybody's going to get to heaven one day. No, only when you confess the name of Jesus as your Savior and you repent of your ways and you move in the direction He's got charted for you, are you truly saved. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. That's what it's about right there. So I'm not trying to cover up anything. I'm preaching from God's word. I'm standing on the word. I'm not standing beside it. I'm not sitting here going, oh, I may make some people mad and they won't come back and we're going to fall apart. No, what God has put together, man shall not put asunder. Amen. We're going to continue to move in the direction God wants us to go. And I'm not even concerned about that. I'm concerned about people's salvation. So let's look at lasciviousness. This refers to having extreme sexual desires to the point that they lead you to do things that are unbecoming of a born-again believer. Let me tell you one of the biggest acts of lasciviousness that goes on in America today, that is the looking at and viewing of pornography on the internet. You'd be surprised right now how many people in this building have looked at a pornographic site in the past week. I guarantee you it's happened. It's happened to people in churches everywhere. It's an epidemic in the world in which we live. Now, I love technology, don't get me wrong, but it has made it so easy for people to just go on their computer and look at this filth and this trash anytime they want to. I'm telling you, there are people, and it's not just young people doing it. Don't say, oh, well, we need to talk about those teenagers. No, we need to talk about America in general, amen. It's not just young people that are doing this. There are plenty of older people that are going on there and are looking at these lascivious things on the internet. People are often lewd in their behavior in public, telling filthy jokes, doing filthy things. Guys, I'm telling you what. Now, this does tend to be a little bit more of a youth thing than an older adult thing. Some of the dancing that goes on today, at the very core of it, it is lascivious behavior. Because it is imitating and looking like things that ought not be done out in public. So you see, people get arrested for lewd acts. Where does that come from? That's the word lasciviousness. That is what it means when you're doing lewd things out in public. And that's one of the things that is spoken of as a work of the flesh. How about idolatry and witchcraft? Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. I'm going to kind of hit over all of these in one big category. Guys, I'm telling you, some of you got some idols in your life right now. You got some idols in your life and you need to get rid of them and put God in His rightful place. Amen? You cannot serve God in mammon. You cannot serve God in money. You cannot serve God in your family. You cannot serve God in your job. You got to put God first in all you do. Then your family will be where it needs to be. Then your job will be where it needs to be. See, we got this out of order. God, family, everything else. We got everything else, or maybe family first, and God way down here at the bottom. And we wonder why this world's falling apart at the seams. Guys, we are supposed to honor and glorify the name of Jesus each and every day of our lives if we claim to be a born-again believer. We're supposed to do that. But a lot of people aren't. They're coming to churches and they're saying, oh yeah, I praise God until I walk out this door. Then I'm going to be just like I was before I came in here. I'm going to get back into my idols and I'm going to continue worshiping them. Guys, anything you put ahead of serving God is an idol in your life. Only you can ask yourself, what idols do I have that I need to move out of the way where I can focus on what God wants me to do? I'm preaching the truth to you guys. You know why? Because I love you. I love everybody in this building right now. And I would be amiss if I sat here and ignored what God has laid on my heart to preach to you. And it's not easy to preach these kind of sermons, let me just tell you. Satan's been attacking me all week, trying to make me think, oh, you don't want to preach that sermon. Oh, you're going to upset some people. They're going to walk out the door. Well, you know what? If they walk out with the truth, then they walked out with something. Amen? That's the way I look at it. If they walk out with the truth, they have walked out with something that will benefit them. I pray, God, that doesn't happen. But I've got to tell the truth. Then there's discord, dissensions, factions, jealousy. Let me talk about factions and dissension for a minute. You know what? Some people that claim to be born-again believers, they love to stir up trouble within the church. They love to say things that aren't true. They love to make people think things that aren't true. They're troublemakers. They're busybodies. They're gossips. And there's no place for that in the church. Amen? Amen. If you got a problem with somebody, you go to them and talk to them about it. You don't go out in public and spew discord and wrath and strife among people outside the walls of the church. That's why churches split. Churches split because you've got hard-headed people who don't have the love of Christ in them, wanting it their way or the highway, so they choose the highway. Amen. That's why we got churches on every corner of America, and half of them aren't even a third of the way full. Because people got mad about something that was said in church, we're going to form our own church. Well, guys, I'm telling you what, if God ordained the church you were in, and it was built because he wanted it built, you better strongly consider going out and starting a church somewhere else. Because if the Holy Spirit is in that church and that church is moving, you better move with it. Or you better examine your life and say, hey, am I lukewarm? That's what this is all about. How about this? Jealousy. People want what somebody else has. They didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve that promotion. I've been here for 15 years. Why'd they get this promotion? Maybe their heart's in the right place. Maybe they serve God to the fullest. Maybe they've been living a life that's been pleasing to God, and you've been living a life that's been fooling yourself and making you think you were something you really weren't. That's why that person got that promotion over you. Because I believe God chooses to bless that way. No, if you're a true believer, you're going to celebrate the accomplishments of other believers. We watched a movie last night. We had a great youth night, movie night. It was called Woodlawn. True story about a high school who came together and got on fire for the Lord, and it changed the whole community. This is a true story. Some of you may remember it. Back in 1974, these two crosstown rival teams came together. The whole teams just about accepted Jesus as their Savior. The coaches got saved. 42,000 people came to Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, the home of the Alabama Crimson Tide there. 42,000 people came to see a game that wasn't even a playoff game. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was moving. Moving in the lives of people. They wanted to see this thing. They wanted to see what was going on. So you see, don't be jealous. Don't have fits of rage. You know, there are a lot of Christians that just want to sit down on the floor and beat their fists on the floor and go, ah, yeah, yeah. You know, amen. Having a fit of rage. Y'all want me to demonstrate that? Somebody have to help me up, but I'll try it. Amen. Guys, I'm telling you, when we don't get our way sometimes, we get angry. Instead of turning to Jesus and saying, Lord, change my heart. Help me to not feel that way about these people. No, we get mad. We get angry. We want to leave. We want to walk away. But guys, I'm telling you, that's what his word says right here. If you are someone who does this and doesn't have a problem with this, you need to examine your Christianity. You need to examine who you are. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. Let's move on. You know, people make excuses why they're not putting God first in their lives. Oh, well, I had to do this and I have to do that. And I didn't have time for this. Guys, let me tell you what. God made time for you in the form of His Son Jesus that He sent to die on a cross for your sins. You weren't worthy of it. I wasn't worthy of it. But He took the time to do it anyway. Don't you think we owe Him some time? Don't you think we owe Him our lives, our very existence? But some people don't believe that. A lukewarm person, they're going to say, oh, well, I couldn't come this way. I couldn't help out with the church. I couldn't go out. And excuses. And guess what? Come judgment day, you know what Jesus is going to say about a lot of those excuses? Depart from me. I never knew you. Those are going to be some harsh words that a lot of people are going to hear. I hate to say it, but a lot of people in that cemetery right now who are right now in a place called the intermediate hell or Hades are going to be resurrected back in their bodies and stand before Jesus and hear those very words, and they thought they were born again believers their whole life. They're going to hear that. A lot of funerals that have been preached right here in this church, funerals that I've preached around this county, were for people who thought they were saved, but when I look back at it, I'm not so sure that was the case. Because you didn't see any evidence of it. There was no evidence of it. Let's finish up with this on the spirit, fleshly things here. How about envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like? You see, lukewarm people are often obsessed by wanting something they don't have. And envy and jealousy go hand in hand. Keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak. Somebody got to knew something of this, so I got to one-up them. I'm going to get something that's about $5,000, $6,000 more, and then we'll see who they're talking about. Amen. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. If all you're doing is putting your treasure in earthly things, you're putting up treasure in the wrong place. Amen. You better be storing up some treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy it, will not destroy it. You will be rewarded for what you do on this earth if you're a born-again believer. Not for how much wealth you had. Woo, just get that one out of the way. I don't need it anymore. Amen. You're going to be rewarded for what you do on this earth. Not for how much money you had. Go ahead and sit on that idol if you want to. I don't care about money. God doesn't need money. But some people, that's the driving force in their life. Amen. That's the driving force in their life. Drunkenness. You know what the Bible says about drinking? It says, do not be of much wine because it leads to debauchery. In other words, when you go out and get drunk, you lose control of who you are and your ability to make rash decisions. That's why God says, don't get drunk. He says, don't be of much wine. He didn't say, don't ever touch a dab of wine. I'm not here to condemn people that go out and do that. If you're doing it in moderation and you feel okay with that. But let me tell you something. It is a sin to go out and get drunk. There have been many families destroyed. There have been good people's lives destroyed because of a bad decision of drunkenness. There are people in jails right now who got drunk, ran into somebody, killed them, and they're now serving jail time because of it. It's just not meant to be for a believer. Orgies. Let me explain to you what that means, first of all. These are parties that people engage in where drunkenness is prevalent and all kinds of lewd sexual conduct is going on just openly. Trust me, it happens today. It happened back in the Roman times back then. There were plenty of them went on under Caligula's rule and people like that. But it happens today. That's why alcohol is the root problem of a lot of things in America today. It leads to that kind of behavior. Lukewarm people don't have a problem going to these kind of parties and don't think twice about coming to church on Sunday. Now, what's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? Guys, I want to see you in heaven. When the roll is called up yonder, I want to see everybody here there. I don't want to see your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life because you weren't who you thought you were. Do you realize that when you're born, everyone's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? How many of you knew that? Your name is in there when you're born. But guess what? Jesus begins to blot it out. When you get old enough to understand about salvation and you choose not to accept Him, He strikes through your name. So that when it comes time, when it comes judgment day, if your name has been blotted out, then he's going to tell you those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's what you're going to hear. Now you may say, "Well, preacher, that's enough bad stuff. What about some good stuff?" Guys, I had to tell you about the bad stuff because you know what? Some of you need to think about that. You need to focus on that. And you need to look at that list that we put in your bulletin today. You know what? I was rushing around trying to make sure I could get all that done. Satan was trying to throw things in my way. I almost didn't print that list and have Louise put it in the bulletin today. But then I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. This is something God wants. I'm going to take the time to do it because I care enough about everybody here at this church. I want to be sure that you're sure." Let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the last half of this scripture in Galatians chapter 5. Now, this is going to help you understand where you stand. Now, I know what some of you are saying right now. "Ooh, I'm guilty of some of those things he just said." Guess what? Some of you that are saved are guilty of those. That's called sin. The Holy Spirit's probably been convicting you on that, but you've refused to. You're still grieving the Holy Spirit. You just need to come up here and lay it down and say, "God, cleanse me of this sin, and I don't ever want to go back to it again." But some of you, it's hitting home with right now, you're saying, "You know what? I do live that kind of lifestyle. I am this, I am that," and you don't think twice about doing it. It's my prayer for you today that the Holy Spirit of God will enter your heart and convict you so that you can find eternal life today. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to go over these real quickly. Love is the first one I want to mention. Guys, love is what the whole New Testament is about. It's what the whole Bible's about, if you want to think of it that way. God is love. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain, but the greatest of these is what? Say it.
Love.
Say it like you mean it.
Love.
Amen. That's what I'm saying. I can count on some people to holler up there in the top. Amen. That's right. Get excited about it because, hey, God is love. Amen. God wants you to love everyone, even when they're unlovable. There are plenty of people that I have a hard time loving. How many of you have a hard time loving some people? Raise your hand. Everybody in here probably ought to have your hand up. Because there are people that are hard to love. That's where... Okay, you don't have to keep them up. I'm starting to think it might be me, okay? Amen. Hey, there are people in this world that are hard to love. But Jesus loved them. Jesus loved the prostitutes of his day. He loved the murderers of his day. When he was dying on the cross, one of those thieves got saved and entered into heaven with him that very day. And you know what Jesus also said? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus still praying on behalf of the very people that put him on that cross. Why? Because he loved them. Guys, there are people in your lives that you need to love with a godly love. They may be hard to love, but Jesus always brought a message of love. You cannot be a born-again believer and not love your fellow man. It just can't happen. Now, you may get angry at him and not want to talk to him for a while, but then the Holy Spirit will convict you, and you'll come around, and then you will look them up, and you'll say, "You know what? I'm sorry I acted that way." If you haven't done that, then you need to strongly step back and examine yourself, because love truly is what makes the world go round, but it truly is what drives a born-again believer. Joy, that's another one. A born-again believer is not going to run out of joy. Amen? What do we mean by joy? Excitement. Just can't wait to get up the next day and see what God has in store. This is not joy.
"Oh gosh, I gotta go to work again. I gotta go to that miserable place again. Dadgummit," and start kicking stuff around in the house.
"That's only on Monday."
It's only on Monday. Amen. Okay. All right, maybe it's okay on Monday. Amen. But guys, listen to me. If you're a born again believer, you're gonna have the joy of Christ in your heart. You're gonna not be able to keep that in. You're gonna have to let it come out. Some of you need to share the joy that God's put in your heart. Don't keep it pinned up. It says in the Bible, nobody puts a basket over a lamp. Nobody covers up the light that's emitting out. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the world, those of us that are born again believers. We got to let it not be shown. We got to show that joy. You know, the Bible uses the word joy in many ways. We're told to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're told that when the shepherds saw the star after Jesus was born, that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. We're told that in Acts, the book of Acts, that the disciples were filled with great joy and with the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Joy is used many times in God's Word. It's an emotion that a born-again believer is going to make evident in their lives. Why? Because they can't hold it back. They can't control it. It's going to come out whether you want it to or not. And I hope you want it to if you're a born-again believer. Peace. True born-again believers are going to have a desire to live in peace with their brothers and sisters. The Bible says that inasmuch as is possible, we should live peaceably with one another. But guys, some of us are just peace breakers. We're not peacemakers. We don't care about disrupting the peace. We don't care about making our opinions known and verbalizing and getting out of control. That's not showing peace. That's not showing the fruit of the Spirit referred to as peace. That's not what that is. Long-suffering is another one. A born-again believer will be long-suffering. Let me tell you what that means. That means you don't give up when the going gets tough. You get up, you rise up, and you keep believing that we serve a God who is greater and taller than any mountain in our lives, and we can overcome what we're going through in our life. Amen. That's what that's all about. You see, God was long-suffering toward us. He thought about destroying mankind on many occasions with the flood. But then he said, no, you know what? I still love them. I'm going to bring forth another generation of people through Noah and his family. When the Israelites were out in the desert and God saw their disbelief and their idolatry, he just told Moses, I'm fixing to wipe out every one of these people right here. He's fixing to destroy the nation of Israel. And Moses prayed and interceded on their behalf. That's the only reason he didn't kill all of them. Why? Because he's long-suffering. Parents, don't ever give up praying for your child to come and find Jesus in their lives. It may take 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. But don't give up. Don't give up on a relationship. Don't give up on a friendship. Because Jesus was long-suffering and is long-suffering toward us. We ought to be the same way. You know, a lukewarm person would rather forget about that person, especially if they wronged them. They'd say something like this. They made their bed, go let them lay in it. That's what a lukewarm person would tell somebody. Forget about that. Forget you. I hear that all the time at school. Young people telling each other, forget you. Jesus ain't going to forget you. And he's not going to forget the person that's saying to forget you either. Amen. Amen. Guys, we got to show love. We got to show long suffering. It may be difficult to love certain people and continue to pray for them and continue to be around them. But it's part of our commandment. We're to love one another. We're to love one another. Gentleness, goodness. Guys, if you're a born-again believer, you're going to be, first of all, a gentle person. You're going to be a meek person. Now, meekness does not mean weakness. Jesus was meek, but he certainly wasn't weak. Amen. A lot of people think, oh, that's weak. I'm not going to show all that, you know, all that emotion and stuff like that. Let me tell you something. It's okay, men, for you to cry and shed some tears. Amen. Because that lets Jesus know that the Holy Spirit is really touching your heart and touching your life. That's okay. Women don't have a problem with it. Amen. Some of them will cry at a grocery store opening. Amen. They don't have a problem with it. But men have problems with that sometimes, and I'm telling you, that shouldn't be an area of concern or issue in your life. Let it go and let it flow, amen? That's what I say. Let it go and let it flow. Gentleness, goodness. You're going to be gentle towards people. You're not going to be rash and out of control with people. You're going to sit down and love them despite of what the situation is. And you're going to be good above all things. You're in the end going to do what's good and what's right in God's sight. Faithfulness. Born again believers will live by faith. Because it's faith that saved you. Not anything you did on your part, because I've already told you, none of us are good enough. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. We're all bad people, really, when it comes down to it. But because of the love Jesus had for us, we can change. We can go from bad to good. We can go from unworthy to worthy if we profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We can do that. Faithfulness. That means you don't give up no matter how many dark clouds are surrounding you. No matter how many large mountains are in your life that you look up and you say, I don't think I can scale that one, God. Yes, you can. If you stay focused on the man with the plan, amen. You stay focused on what God's got for your life, you can climb any mountain. You can say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be cast into the sea. Now, you know what God was saying there? Don't give up. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. We live in a somewhat hopeless world, don't we? A lot of people have given up hope for this world. I haven't, because I serve a God that can change this thing anytime He wants to when He gets enough believers. See, that's the problem in churches. There's too many lukewarm people that think they're saved who really don't want to get on fire for the Lord. That's why I believe God has brought these messages to me to deliver to you guys. We got to live by faith. Born again people are faithful in the areas of Bible study, prayer, church attendance, giving, outreach, witnessing. They're going to be faithful in those things. You're not going to have to poke them and prod them and say, hey man, who'd you witness to this week? And they turn around and walk off because they don't want to talk about that. Guys, we've been called to that. The Great Commission. It's our duty as a born again believer to witness to someone. We're going to allow a lot of people that come in contact with us every day to go straight to hell. You know why? Because we don't want to say anything to them. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, their feelings are going to be real hurt when they stand in front of Jesus one day and He says, depart from me, I never knew you. You worried about hurting their feelings? What about their soul that will forever be tormented because you would not say anything to them? That's what you need to be concerned with. Self-control. And I'm done after this one right here. True born-again believers maintain self-control no matter the situation. They don't fly off the handle and start cursing and using profanity. I can't tell you how many times I've walked around the corner somewhere in my life and heard a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or even a preacher just talking like they're in the middle of the ocean somewhere with a group of sailors. I'm not knocking our military, okay? You know, you've heard the expression, cuss like a sailor. That's what I'm talking about here, amen. But guys, that ought not be. That ought not be. We got to have self-control. How is a lost and dying world going to get any better when we're acting just like the rest of them? We can't do that. I preach this to our young people. You got to make a difference in your school. You got to make a difference in your community. If they see you acting just like them, we're not going to get them in God's house. You know why? Because they already think they're as good as you. They don't need to get up on Sunday morning. We got to show them the way by how we act. And I want to close by saying this today, because I need some oxygen. Amen. Anybody got a bottle handy out there? I could use a blast right about now. Guys, let me tell you something. This has been a great journey for me, because I've been able to examine some scripture and really see what God says, really see what Jesus says about lukewarmness. I prayed a prayer this week. I said, God, last week you brought one person who realized that I'm not who I thought I was down this aisle, thought he'd been saved for 50 years. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Brad, he came to know Jesus last week. And that's okay. You know, a lot of people said, oh, you had me fooled. Well, guess what? He didn't fool the one person that he finally realized he wasn't fooling, and that's Jesus. Amen. Praise God for that. Many of you came down the aisle when you were younger just because your parents, and I'm going to tell you what, parents, please be cautious about how you push and shove your children into salvation. Because if it's not the right time for them and you push them down the aisle, then they may make a wrong decision that isn't really truly under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. People ought not follow other people down the aisle just because they're left on the aisle by themselves. Many people have went down, prayed the prayer with the preacher, got baptized. Why? Because your friends did it. That didn't mean you got saved. The first one who walked out was probably the one that was getting convicted by the Holy Spirit. Three or four others of you just came in with them. But that's okay. There's still time. There's still hope. I've already planned for a baptismal service the first Sunday in March. I already got a couple of people that need to be baptized. I'd like to have 15, 20, 30 lined up and stretched out the door to get into the baptismal waters for real this time. For real. Don't worry about what somebody might think, because you're coming, oh, I'd be embarrassed because they'll think that I didn't know what I was doing and I've been in here all my life in church. Let me tell you something. If anybody says that about you, they probably need to be coming down the aisle with you. Amen. Amen. They probably need to walk down the aisle with you and be holding your hand saying, you know what, I've been one of those people myself. But guys, I want to encourage you today to come here today. The way I see it, here's what we've got. We've got about three or four different kinds of people here at Bethesda Baptist Church. And I preach in churches in general, but since I'm your pastor, I'm going to reference Bethesda. Here's what we got. We've got, on the one hand, true born-again believers that the Holy Ghost is inside them. It drives their decisions. It drives their actions. It drives their motives. Then we've got believers here who are saved, but right now they're grieving the Holy Spirit because they have chosen to walk off the path. They've chosen to do some things that the world says is okay. They need to be redirected back on the narrow path and come up here and say, Jesus, I want to rededicate my life to you. I know I'm saved. I feel your presence. I know you're there, but I just chose to step out of fellowship with you. And then there's this other type of person called a lukewarm person who, when you look at that checklist I put in your bulletin, you're going to have probably over 70% of those things you won't be able to answer in a positive way because they're describing you. Guys, don't let your life come to an end thinking you were something you were not. You will know when the Holy Spirit is living in your heart, because you're going to do these things we just read about. You're not going to be doing the things of the flesh that we talked about. You're going to be doing the things that bring fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And that's going to be what drives you. If anything else is driving your life, you're headed in the wrong direction. If you're not focused on the cross and focused on what Jesus has done for you, I got a thing in the mail today from an 85-year-old evangelist. Yeah, 85 years old. You know what he said in his little pamphlet? I'm as excited today as I was when I was 20 years old. I wake up every morning, my feet hit the floor, and I'm ready to serve God. 85 years old. We got some people half that age that if they had that kind of spirit and that kind of fervor, man, this place would be reaching out to this community here. This church would be full every Sunday. Amen. Guys, we got to want it. This is the coach coming out of me. Man, you got to want it. I give that speech many years. You got to want it. If you want it, go out and get it. I got some of it. I know plenty of people who got some of it, but some of you need to get some of it. And then you won't be afraid to say amen and hallelujah and get excited when you sing and everything. You won't be afraid to do that then. The choice is yours, and only you can make that decision. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just pray now, Lord, if there's somebody here today that, Lord, as we close out this series of sermons, Lord, if there's somebody here today, maybe up top, maybe down here at the bottom, maybe anywhere in between, God, if there's somebody here today that you are touching their heart, saying, come down that aisle and accept Jesus as your Savior, I pray that they won't delay. God, I pray that no one in this church will look down upon anyone who does choose to do that. God, I pray they'll search their heart as well. And Father God, we're going to give you the praise regardless of what happens here today. This is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We're going to praise you no matter what. But God, I'm just giving you the praise and glory already ahead of time for what you're about to do and what you're going to continue to do in the life of this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky? 104. Let's stand and sing. If you're being led to come down here, don't hesitate. Don't worry about what somebody's saying or what they might say. Let's lift it up to the Lord.